What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Parent Podcast. My name is Alec, and with me, as always, is Kelly and Shane. Well, at least for now. Shane, you're taking a big sabbatical.
That sounded so horrid. At least for now.
I mean,
like, we're so grateful he's in our presence.
Shane will no longer be with us.
Well, I mean,
he's
here. You're here until you're not.
Okay. Golly.
I guess that's true for all of us.
You're going on your sabbatical,
yes.
A well-deserved sabbatical after 50 years of ministry.
Oh, my gosh. Golly, sometimes I just want to punch you.
Good old Uncle Shane.
Kelly, you don't need to jump in with this. 15 years here at Long Hollow.
That's what I said, 50.
No, one.
But
five.
How many total, Shane? That's only 15 at Long Hollow.
Close to 30.
Ooh.
Close to 30 years.
So he's actually not far off.
No.
If you count the first 20 of just being a child and loving the Lord.
Well,
little playground evangelist.
Isn't it the first 30? You know, Shane's like 60.
No,
oh,
he's
my gosh.
Not. How old are you, actually?
I'm 51.
Oh, so you're barely 50.
No. Spoken like a millennial.
I'll take millennial over Gen Z.
All right, come on. Here we go.
Yeah. Speaking of the generations, have y'all like even attempted to understand the Gen Alpha language that on its way up?
I do this game sometimes with a house guest. And that sounds weird. Like, I have somebody living in my house. I have these friends that are way younger than me, and they'll come over for dinner, and they'll quiz me on terms. It's really fun and also very eye-opening. But then I also really don't get it.
So what does skibbity mean? I actually don't know.
Okay, that's not good.
It's not good.
It's a not good thing. If they're saying, oh, that's skibbity something, you don't want to mess around with that.
All right.
Get out of there.
Okay. What about, what's another one I hear all the time? Sigma.
That's good.
That's good.
Sigma is good.
Are we sure?
Yes.
Kelly looks.
Yep.
I just don't know that one.
No, that one's good.
That's good.
Sigma is good.
What's the thing where they're like, no cap?
That's lie.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I really don't remember these things also. I hear him sometimes.
Here's the only time I use them is when I'm trying to frustrate my kids, which is not biblical. But there's times where I'll use their terminology and then get mad, or I tell them I'm going to make up a word and try to make it cool.
Okay, so before I was a parent, I actually thought about this, and it's so evil and twisted, but I said, what if we just taught children all the wrong words? I don't know why. It's like an intrusive thought that I would just say to myself, that poor thing. Like, imagine if I just started teaching. Like, I never have done this, and I would never do it. But I remember pre-parent days, I would imagine, like, oh, my goodness, if I just made up words. But this is what this generation is doing now.
That's the thing.
Every generation has done it.
So I've, like, had that thought where people are, like, you know, you'll hear very, like, oh, I don't want to. You'll just hear people say, like, oh, you shouldn't cuss. And like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, why? Like, who decided that cuss words, quote unquote, were like bad? Because it's just a word that someone made up. How is, you know, a explicit word any different than the words that are being made up on TikTok now? Like,
I've never researched like the history of cuss words, but now I'm kind of interested.
I don't know. I just know if I ever used them around my parents, I'd gotten a lot of trouble.
Oh yeah, there were words that weren't even cuss words that I wasn't allowed to say.
Like suck.
I couldn't say that.
I cannot say that.
I couldn't say CRAP.
Nope.
Couldn't say that.
Nope.
That couldn't say shut up.
That was another one.
Now, I don't let my kids say it either.
No.
Okay.
Either.
So, changing topics, because I just thought about this. So,
wait, before you do.
Give me another word.
I have to give you an example that I was talking about earlier. So, Cutter kept saying cap. That's cap, Dad, which means it's a lie. It's not true.
Right.
So, I said, you know something? I'm going to make up a word for truth. Sombrero. And so...
What?
So,
this is why you're old.
No, this is just me messing with
too many syllables.
I wasn't trying to, but he'd go, Dad, that's cap. I go, nope, sombrero. And he would just get so mad. And so I was just like, all right, from now on, I'm just making up words. If you're going to make up words, I'm going to make up words.
That's fair. But Linda and I were watching, I'm working through How I Met Your Mother in the last season of it.
Which we do not condone that.
I've never watched that show, so I don't know anything about it.
Well, there's a lot of like perverted humor in it. So would not recommend it, but
oh my goodness, this is a parenting podcast.
That's okay.
don't let your kids watch that, apparently, according to Alec.
Alec is not a parent yet, so.
No, I'm not. But one of the characters was like, they brought out bacon, and one of the characters says, I'm allergic to bacon. And the other character is like, no, that was a lie that your mom told you to help you eat healthy things. He was like, no, I'm just allergic to bacon, sugar, not going to bed on time. And he said something else. And it was like all these things. And he was like, oh no, my mom lied to me all these years. And so he like finally eats bacon, whatever. And I looked at Lyndon and I was like, that's genius. We're telling our kids they're allergic to these things. And I just wanted, she said no, obviously, because she's the smart one between the two of us. But I wanted to know y'all's thoughts on that before we jumped in today.
I just don't like lying to my kids, honestly. I know that some people do it and they're like, oh, it's okay. I think it's just like a conviction I have in general. I also remember what it was like, not to get into like a rough childhood story, but I remember being lied to as a kid about something and it really, really hurt.
Right.
And it was like a very serious matter. And so I think from that, okay, not to be all like, oh, emotional. From that quote wound, I think I decided I don't want to lie to my kids. Even when it's really hard, I would much rather be the parent that is going to be honest with them so they always know, hey, if nothing else, I've probably ruined you in a lot of ways, but I did not lie to you.
Right.
Now, granted, is it tempting when they're like, I want to watch a show? I want to just say, the TV's broken. I'm sorry. Like, it's broken. I can't lie, though. I mean, I could. I just unplug my TV and put it in the garage and just say, it's gone. But there are times where I want to lie to my kids. I try really hard not to.
So finding out you weren't Italian was a deep wound.
Yes. No, they never told me I was Italian. I just thought I was. And do you know that to this day, when old Italian men see me, they think I'm Italian. When I meet them in like stores.
You tell them you're Italian.
No, I think I just give up that persona. And then it makes me so sad. And then I feel the need to tell them my childhood story, to which they don't know how to react. Or they'll find out my maiden name and they'll be like, she wasn't Italian. This happened. Mark and I went to Colorado in May. And of course, like this old Italian man, Mark hits it off with them and they're talking. And the guy, they're like looking at me from the corner, like whatever. Mark's like, yeah, that's my wife. Da-da. And he goes, oh, she's Italian, huh? Mark's like, nah, that's funny though. She wishes. And he's like, huh? So then I tell him and he's like, well, what's your name? I was like, well, now my name is Kelly Ablaza. Back then it was Kelly Coleman. And the dude looks at me and he's like, and you thought you were Italian with a name like that? I go, yeah, diehard Irish, thought I was Italian.
Shane, do you have any thoughts?
I agree. You don't want to lie to your kids. I think if I ever said a lie to my kids, it's out of frustration. when I've told them no and they keep asking why, and I say it kind of sarcastically, which is probably not the best parental way of handling things. But I'll just be like, it's all gone. They'll come and they'll for the fourth time this week, hey Dad, can we get ice cream? No. There's no more ice cream. Dad, I just looked. Nope, that's not even real. And so just in sarcasm, I think I'd do it, but never seriously.
Mm. Gotcha. Well, thanks for sharing all that. Back to what we're actually talking about today. So this idea of missional parenting sounds interesting. Like, it's not something I've ever really thought about. How do you guys help your families, your kids specifically, when they're at all different kinds of ages, think missionally? And I don't mean missionally of like going on mission trips, but seeing where they are, where their feet are planted as a mission field rather than just a space to exist. How do you help them see that? Because that's what we're talking about today. So
I feel like sometimes as a parent, the Lord can use your children to convict you and to kind of like open your eyes to areas where maybe you need to grow. I have three kids. My daughter is in first grade. She is 6 years old. And she just has this like love for the Lord and for the word of God. And when she made the decision to follow Jesus, not too long after that, she started like taking her Bible everywhere with her, including like in her bike basket or in this wagon. And she would walk it around our neighborhood. And it was so funny because I saw her one day. There was a bunch of kids playing in my driveway. And Jolie's out there, open Bible, just like, she like could barely read at the time. And she's like telling everybody how to love your neighbor, and had gotten kind of like in a little fight with another kid who was like, well, I'm not really your neighbor because I live down the street, not in the house next door to you. And she was like, no, the Bible says to love all of your neighbors and everybody's our neighbor. So I'm like, okay, we're not going to fight about it with the neighbors. But she just had this like innate love for the Lord and for wanting to just talk about the Bible with other people. And so I got really convicted because I was like, man, my daughter is being a better missionary than I am. She is literally taking the word of God to the neighborhood. But one thing that's really, I think, helped me as I talk to my kids with that mindset is like on the way to school or before we go to a place where I know that they're going to be like away from me for an extended period of time. It's like, hey, when you walk into your school today, like you have the opportunity to be a light. Like the way that you talk to people, the way that you love them, the way that you share, like how you show kindness. Like today you have the opportunity to show others what the love of Christ looks like. And so trying to take that time to steward the moment, and I think be really intentional to like set up like our kids' mindset as they enter into an area, whether that's like the ball field or the school or wherever they're gonna be, just like, hey, how you act right now and how you love people matters, and you have the opportunity to reflect the love of Christ. So yeah, that's a very simple, basic way, but that's something that we've been doing.
I think for us, some of our kids, when you have multiple kids, I think some lean more naturally towards it.
Oh yeah, because I've got one that's not interested at all.
Than others, and so it's very interesting. Crew, who's my youngest. Matter of fact, just last week, he was going to the fair with some buddies, and he kept worrying about, he has this shirt that said Jesus Saves on it, and he kept worrying about it being washed. And I was like, son, what are you doing? Why are you worried about this shirt? You got all kinds of other shirts. And he goes, well, my plan is, and like this is on his own. He goes, my plan is when we're standing in line for rides, people will ask me about it, and then I'll get to share Jesus with them.
I love that.
And I just went, oh, all right, well.
Gotta wash that shirt,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, we'll get the shirt ready. We'll get the shirt taken care of. But it was one of those things where Crew has always leaned more towards that way. Like, even when he first got saved, we were in the drop-off line at school, and he just put his window down, and kid was walking up the sidewalk. Do you know Jesus? I'm like, whoa, let's not. easy there, son.
Car rider evangelism.
That's right. And so, but there's some things, like you said, like when I pray for my kids as I'm dropping them off for school, I say, Lord, help them know your love and help them show your love to other people. When we go out to eat as a family, I don't do it all the time, but I try to ask our server, hey, how can we pray for you? How can we? Mm-hmm. And so I think there's certain things that we do that definitely help that and make our kids aware of it. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's also things that we do, like, and I'll be honest with you, on the other side of it, Carson, my oldest, who's in college now, Carson is a lot like her dad in the fact that she tries to fix people. And that's not the way to do it. You know, to understand that balance of, man, we're supposed to love on people. We're supposed to pray for people. We're supposed to show Jesus and tell them about Jesus, but we can't fix people. Mm-hmm. That's not our job, and that's not our place. And so, I definitely think kids see it and mimic it, but I also think there are some kids that just lean towards it a little more than others. And that's not an excuse for others not to share. Like my other two should be sharing, but Crew definitely. Crew definitely, it's on his mind a lot.
That's awesome.
So how do you balance the, like, that knee-jerk reaction that you had, Shane? Because in some senses, I hear, like, all right, Crew rolled the window down and just started talking to someone. It's like, well, in some senses, that's how evangelism works. Like, you got to start a conversation somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there is that, like, just let them rip the Band-Aid off or, you know. And so how do you handle that of, like, the ignorance on fire without maybe putting out the passion at the same time?
That's a great question. And that's one of those things where you just have to, as a parent, you're constantly coaching up. You're constantly going, hey, I love that you said that. I love the passion. You just can't yell it at people as we're driving by them. You know, let's get to know them first. Let's know their name. Let's know their story. And so I think you continue to say, no, hey, that was great, but
yeah,
let's tweak it a little bit. Let's work on it a little bit. And so, and that's been fun. It's been fun when you always, you know, you think about this, it's with staff, you think about this with Christian, you always want someone who you have to pull back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Instead of someone you have to motivate to go.
Correct.
And so it is fun. And it is fun. You know, he actually spoke this morning at FCA and we were talking and he'll prepare his messages and then we sit down and work through it. And I kind of coach him up and he'll say stuff and I'll go, son, where did you get that? And he goes, oh, like the other day he goes, Dad, I've got a great illustration for community with bananas. And I go, all right, let me have it. And
did it involve minions?
No, it didn't. It didn't. But he walks through and he goes, when you pull a banana off, it deteriorates faster. But when it's together, and I was like, son, that is a great illustration. But what happens when they're connected and they stay together and they all rot? And he goes, yeah, I didn't think about that. And so, but he's always thinking that way. And so I love it. But it is, you have to balance the encouragement with coaching,
right?
Cause you don't want to, I don't ever want to put out his fire. I don't ever want to go, hey son, you shouldn't do that. You know, he's gotten in trouble at school for bringing his Bible.
Really?
Yeah. And just certain teachers and I've told him, I go, look, you're in their classroom. Go ahead and put it back in your backpack. But he'll sit down at his desk. He'll put his Bible out on his desk, and then he'll start class. And that's how he. It's normal for him. That's not something I've ever said. I actually think Chef, our middle school pastor, challenged our middle schoolers to bring their Bibles to school. But I've talked to him. Hey, we're still going to be respectful. We're still going to listen to our teachers. We can't throw Christianity in people's faces because we think we're right. And so it is. It's a constant coaching and encouraging.
Yeah. So, you know, this is releasing this episode. If you're listening as it comes out or a couple days later or the week of, See You at the Pole is next week. And so...
September 25th, yes.
Yeah. and so what if you have a child, if I'm a parent and one of my children coming home, like, hey, See You at the Pole is coming... I got to be at school at like 6:30. And I know for me, like if I were a parent, I would have that immediate reaction of, oh, I'm so glad you love Jesus, but can you love him later in the day? And so what are some like practical ways that as a parent you can help your children if they do have a desire to come to See You at the Pole? And also, I guess I should explain, like if you're listening to this, you're like, what is See You at the Pole? It's a movement that was started, you know, a while ago, 20-ish years. It's been around as long as I can remember. Where is it longer than that, Shane?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
It's like you're showing your youth. As long as I can remember.
As long as I can remember.
I mean, yeah, like the whole concept is that students gather at the flagpole at the school to pray over the school, the community, and the nation as a whole. And so FCA typically, at least around here in Sumner County, FCA will lead it just because a church organization is not able to. But it allows inclusivity of all churches as well, which is a great byproduct of that. And so, you know, it's a big day because students are initiating and leading out in a moment of prayer on school grounds. And so with that, children of all ages are able to, if they're in school, elementary schools do it, middle school, high school. And so how can parents help their children in this missional opportunity with See You at the Pole? Is it to run the whole thing? Is it to hold their hand? Is it to buy donuts for everybody? What is the proper thing for a parent to do if a parent is going, I don't really know how to get involved, but I want to be?
Yeah, I think honestly, everything you just mentioned, Alec, are all great options for a parent. What I love about See You at the Pole is it truly is a student-led event. So obviously, depending on the maturity and age of your child, there's a different level of parent involvement there. I've gone with my kids who are in elementary school, but I don't lead anything. I am literally just there to hold their hand because it was their first year going. But it was so cool to watch other students. Like at the elementary school, there were several fourth and fifth graders who were out there leading out in prayer. Somebody came, I think another parent, maybe a teacher, and had like a guitar. And I remember they were singing worship songs. But there's a whole website too. So SYATP.com.
It's the acronym.
It is. I'm just really bad at that stuff. So seeyouatthepole.com. But there's tons of resources. So if you are a parent or if your child comes to you and is like, man, I want to get involved, how can I? There are awesome resources on that website. But essentially, you just show up at your school early. You go to the flagpole and you get to pray. You can have a time of worship. You can share scripture. But it's student-led. So there is no, I mean, in at least my experience, there's never been, hey, these are the ground rules. It's very fluid in terms of what y'all can do. So awesome opportunity to equip our kids to have a leadership moment and also just to gather with other believers. I think that was one of the most encouraging parts is when you get to your public school and you see all of these different kids, teachers, and parents surrounding their school in prayer. It was just a really sweet moment.
Yeah.
I love FCA. I'm a big fan of FCA and what they stand for and what they do. And when I was in college, I was president of FCA and at my college, flex. And they do a not a flex, and they do a great job of connecting with students. But the See at the Pole is one of those unique events where there's a lot of times Christian students feel like they're the only ones in their school. And it's a great opportunity for kids to walk up to the pole or wherever they meet and realize that, hey, I'm not the only one. There's a lot of other believers here. And then from there to go in and pray for their teachers, for their administrators, for the cafeteria ladies and the janitors and everyone in the school, fellow students. And then, like you said, move on to the nation and praying for the nation and our government leaders. But it is, I love watching students lead. But I also love watching parents show up and support. And at one of the local high schools here, we've got parents who, on that day, they just show up and bring donuts and hand out donuts and orange juice. And it's such a great time for parents to kind of see what happens, but also for parents to show support of their kids and support of FCA. And so, Kelly said, on the website, there's all kinds of ways that you can help out, all kinds of ways that you can join. But here's the other thing I want to challenge you to do, parents, is I want to challenge you to pray. Mm-hmm. I want to challenge you to go ahead and before See at the Pole, pray for the teachers and the administration and all those things that your students are going to be praying for on that day. And then continue to do that. We need to see a movement of God in our public schools, and for See at the Pole to take this on, this event on and do it every year is amazing. But what if we had a group of parents that were praying year round for these teachers, for the administrators, for the janitors, for everybody in that school, for the coaches, and go from there. I think it's an amazing way and also to talk to your kids about it. Just say, hey, who are some of your teachers that I can be praying for?
Yeah.
What's a situation you've heard in your school that needs prayer for?
Yeah.
And so I think that's another way that parents can be involved, not just at that one event, but then year round.
Yeah. I love that. Billy Graham is on their website, so I don't just like know Billy Graham quotes.
Just taking the credit.
But he said, this should be the motto of every follower of Jesus Christ. No matter how dark and hopeless a situation might seem, never stop praying. And I just think that's so powerful, Shane. Like you said, we always have the opportunity to pray anytime, any place, anywhere. We also have resources too for families. So we have a prayer guide all about how to pray for administrators, schools. So if you're kind of at a loss, or if you're one of those parents that's just like, I want to pray, I don't know where to start, you can go to our website and download our prayer guide. And then we also have those cool car tags that you can hang on your rearview mirror, which again is like such a great visual reminder. So parents, if you're listening and you're like, man, I want to do this, but I need some extra encouragement or resources or that reminder, please check out our website or grab a car tag the next time you're on campus, because that's our heart. We want to be able to support you and encourage you as you continue to parent and disciple your kids.
Yeah. And if you're at a private school and you're like, I don't think anyone is doing this, if you send your kids to a private school, you know, I mean, the beauty of private schools is that they're much, at least from my perspective, seem to be a little bit more accessible to a parent, to an administrator, than public schools are, because of there's just less in the way between the two. Yeah. And so go to the administrators and ask, like, hey, can I, my children and I lead this and invite families and different things like that.
Even if you're homeschooled, go to the mailbox, go to the front steps, be like, you know what, we're going to pray over our school year today.
And I love that. One of the things I challenge our homeschool kids to do a lot is to look at our church campus as their school campus. So allow them to come and to pray and to pray for our church and to pray for the student ministry and our pastor and all those different things. And so I love that idea.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you have any more questions, you can go to the See You at the Pole website, which is just the acronym of See You at the Pole. So SYATP.com. Is it .com or .org? I think it's .com. It's one of the two. You'll find it.
It's .com. I looked it up.
And if you're like, man, I want resources and need help with this at home and different things like that, you can go to longhollow.com/parent and find a resource page where we've got a lot of things that are geared just to help you succeed at home as a primary disciple maker. And if you want to join the conversation, text parent to 98173, and you'll get a link to a form where you can give us feedback, but then tell us some topics you would love to hear us talk about. And so, yeah, with that, Shane, Kelly, thank you so much for being on. And if you enjoyed this, you know, give it a like, share it, send it to a parent that you think it could be helpful to. And let us know, let us know what stories come out of, your family's time with See You at the Pole. And so, we are praying for you families as you guys head out, into this day. And so, yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Bye.